What's going on, Alamo City Muay Talk fans? I'm Ryan D, a can only Ryan 680.
I'm Dylan Eden 01.
What's going on, Dylan? How you doing over there, brother?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good.
Man, I'm excited to do this. I know we were supposed to do this last week, but I had a graduation. I had like, it was just a crazy, it's been a crazy week, man. It really has been. And they're going by so quick. How's work been for you, brother?
Good, good. Been busy. Keeping with it.
Yeah, I can't believe we're already going to be close. We're already going to be halfway through the year. 2020 went by so freaking slow, and this year's just going by so quick. Like, it's insane. But, I mean, we're already in Loki series. I remember getting excited for WandaVision, and we're already in the Loki series. Like, this is crazy. But let's get started on this, man. So we're going to talk about episode one and episode two, guys. We're going to mention the spoilers at the very end. Again, spoilers at the very end, guys. All right, so let's get right to it, Dylan. I mean, that opening that, you know, that opening logo that we got in episode one, you know, I was really excited. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, it just, I wanted something different. And the thing is, like, I'll be honest right now. I'm gonna say it up front. I'll probably say it a lot in this review, is that Loki is not my cup of tea, man. He hasn't been my cup of tea for, I'll probably want to say for a while now. I liked him in the Dark World, but I didn't like him as the Avengers villain, you know, in the very first movie. So I'm going to go out and say that on the limb. I know everyone's going to be against me, be like, what? How could you do that? And all that stuff. But I mean, that's just my point of opinion, man. I did not like him as the villain in Avengers, the very first one, Marvel, the Avengers, the film that was done by Paramount. And so going into this, you know, I was just really excited, but at the same time, just like, I want them to really like exceed at certain aspects of this character, because we haven't gotten too much of the dark, the darkness really in his chaos and all that. We haven't really seen him really just unveil the consequences of his actions per se, you know, in this universe. And again, though, it goes kind of like, it touches up on certain topics that are just very sensitive, but I want them to succeed on that. And it looks like they're doing that very well in episode one. I mean, I loved Tom Hiddleston. I mean, is it weird that I liked him more in this series than I have as in the movies? Is that weird to say?
No, because I feel like he's finally like hitting his stride in the character. Not to say that he was bad in the other movies, but I feel like now that he's been the character for a while, he's seen some changes. They're kind of giving him, I think, more rein to do, you know, what he wants. And also, I think a lot of the source material on this are stories that Loki is kind of a redeemer. So I feel like that this is going to be the time when he really shines.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, what was your initial thought of this episode one, man? I mean, we'll talk about spoilers, but I mean, what did you think of this world that they created the very first episode, man? I mean, did it exceed your expectations, I guess, sort of episode one? We'll talk about episode two, but did it exceed your expectations?
I would say it met them. It gave us enough to kick off the series, but it didn't give too much where you kind of already knew, like, oh, okay, this is going in this direction. So I thought overall it was very good. And then kind of like dovetailing into two, I think it really picks up. So on there, it's like a lot, the pace is picking up. So I'm really starting to like it a lot more.
Yeah.
On that. So,
I mean, was there anything that you really like touched, like, that you would say that Tom Hiddleston really, I mean, exceeded way more than you thought of what, I mean, or was it just like, obviously you said it exceeded your expectations a little bit. I mean, is there anything else you want to input on Tom, man? I mean, just to see him play this character, because he's been playing this character for a while now. I mean, yeah, I mean, 10 plus years now. It just, you know, it seems like you can't really go so much further with this character. I mean, or you think he could exceed into another level or any of that?
I think there's still a lot more he can do as someone who has read, you know, quite a bit of comics. I know, and even before that, like with just the lore of Thor and Loki, you know, with the whole that Norse, I guess, mythology, I kind of knew a little bit about that. So there's a lot of stories I feel like can still be told. And then now recently, like diving more into the comics, like I said, I've read a couple of what was rumored to be the source material, and they're all redeeming storylines of him trying to fix his past. So I think there's a lot of meat left that he can tackle.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, yeah, definitely. And you know, we see this a lot in different different characters. Obviously, WandaVision, how well it did. I know a lot of people were kind of eh. I enjoyed that series very, very much so. And I would say, I going into this though, I don't know. I did not expect it to be this good. I'll admit it. I did not. And Disney Plus actually came out and said, this is like one of their top ones that came out, like the top streaming, and which is weird. So, just to clarify, ladies and gentlemen, just to clarify, from now on, this has been confirmed by Disney Plus, ladies and gentlemen. From now on, any Disney Plus series, Marvel does not matter. Any Disney Plus series, as of right now, as from now on, how The Mandalorian was on Fridays? Well, now from now on, everything's on Wednesdays. Apparently, Wednesday night is their prime night, and they've been testing out, because I remember what was it? The Bad Batch is coming out on Friday nights, and Mandalorian came out on Friday nights, but apparently it not have the numbers that Loki has on a Wednesday night. So I don't know if that's just because of the character, because everyone wants to see what more of this character they could see. Or is it just because it was just a time and day, or the day of the week, the
I don't
middle of the
think so
week?
much the
It
day
was
because
hump day.
I think they're gonna keep Friday as the Star Wars day. Like, I think Star Wars shows going forward are gonna remain on Friday. I don't know. I mean, I guess chalk it up to marketing. I feel like there might be more MCU fans,
For sure.
than Star Wars fans, but
Oh no, I'm not, I can't agree to that. I'm sorry. I have to disagree. I have to
Well,
politely
I mean,
disagree.
just take a look at like the most recent Star Wars. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay, yeah. The
I feel
more
like Disney
fans are
Plus is
more
a
together.
younger, a younger demographic is on Disney Plus. That's just
I
my
got you.
thoughts. I don't know. It could be totally off the target, but
Yeah, no, I got you. I got you. Yeah, like and that's the thing too, is that we see the struggles of Tom really in this series, and I love that though. I love that about it, because again though, we talked about it already. It's just you can't really. I don't know. I just for me, the villain hasn't really became the true villain that I want him to become. That I really and dearly want him to become. Granted, yes, he brought an alien race to our planet. Yes, he did that. But I mean, dude, I just even that speech. I know I'll bring it up every time we talk about Loki. I'm gonna bring up that speech between him and Scarlett Johansson. It didn't do anything for me. I was bored.
the one
I was
about the Hulk.
about the Hulk, yes, about him going on this crazy rant or whatever. And I was just how he spits on the cage and all that. Like, I did not dig that whatsoever. It was just a dull moment for me. Again, it's probably totally different from what other moviegoers thought of this, of that scene, but that's just my personal opinion. I know everyone's gonna hate on me on that, but yeah, I'll say that. So this is coming from not a fan of Loki so far. I liked him in Dark World. I liked him, to be honest. I liked him with his brother a lot. Thor. I loved him a lot. And with their chemistry together was just really done very well, and I just enjoyed it better. I'm not gonna lie, I did. But yeah, so I mean, going into this, episode one, dude, that green logo was pretty cool. That logo right there, though, at the very bottom, on your side, that side, yeah, there you go. On the was all right there. Sorry, your left is my right. But that very corner logo, man, I'm digging that logo. That's a bad logo, man. I'm actually digging it very well. It's a certain creativity to where like it really don't know what to expect out of the series, man. Like, I mean, out of here, so the time variance authority here, I mean, the TVA, as they're calling it, I yeah, this is breaking about. And what's funny, so I'm pretty sure everyone has seen episode one, so I guess we'll just jump straight into spoilers, guys. Episode one, I mean, it explained. I know everyone, let's talk about this real quick. So Endgame, the Sorceress Supreme touched up a little bit on the timeline, right? Remember, she was explaining it to Mark Ruffalo and all that, right? So the Hulk. So in this series, the very first episode, we get an example, or we get an explanation really to how the time variance works and how, and all that stuff. Dude, why in the hell they just did not show that in Endgame? Like, or at least the way they explained it was so great and so very done, very, very well. I think that was a better explanation than what Endgame gave, in that whenever the Sorceress Supreme was explaining it. But again, it was very brief. So, I mean, this one went more into detail per se. But I mean, I talk about time variance and all that. I know some Marvel fans are against it. I mean, what's your thoughts on the time lapse and all that? Because you're switching all the time.
I like it. I feel like having a multiverse and multiple timelines has the possibility of anything, really. I also have a theory where I think the show may go dealing with that, which I'll talk about that. I'll probably save that for later when we do other episodes.
Yeah.
But I feel like that now they've also had a chance to refill in their plot holes and rewrite and fix things, you know, where in game the explanation was kind of rushed, like you said. This one's a little more fleshed out. But as the idea of a whole, I love it on that. And I look forward to seeing it in the near future with the movies coming up, too.
Yeah, I mean, because we got the Eternals coming out this year, and I feel like this is really going to shape the fate of these movies. I feel like it's going to lead up to the Eternals. It's going to lead up to somewhere in that sense. I feel like it's going to give us hints, and I hope it does, because, you know, it's all connected, of course, with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But knowing certain things in this timeline, it hopefully doesn't get too confusing. But so far, it's been very simple, I would say, on that. Try not to mention spoilers right now. I'm trying my hardest. Sorry, guys. I'm trying my hardest not to mention certain spoilers. But I mean, the way this series is flowing, episode one, I loved it. It got us right into the mix. Got us right into literally right after Endgame, which I was excited for. Which they did announce, like, "Hey, we're gonna start right after Endgame and all that." And we got that sense. And I loved it too. I loved how it gave us like just a little like refresher, so to speak. So I love that about it. Again, Owen Wilson in here. What do you think of Owen Wilson as Morbius?
I love it. I love him.
Really?
I love that they're, you know, what they're doing with that character. I think him and Tom together is an amazing dynamic. I think it's going to be one of the more underrated parts of the show.
Really?
I hope it's not underrated. I hope people, you know, realize how good Owen is doing and all that. But yeah, I feel like that friendship is going to be important, and it's going to shine, I think.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, man. I mean, it's really going to shape the whole fate of this show, really. Cause I mean, it really relies on them, and, you know, it relies on them to really entertain us and everything. And it's been doing it freaking well, man. I love this. I know a lot of people are just going to be not necessarily confused, but trying to understand the concept in this. You know, there's different multiverses, there's different Spider-Mans, there's different Lokis, there's different, just so many different Iron Man. You know, is Iron Man, is this a way they could try to bring back RDJ? You know, is this a way they can bring back certain characters that died? You know, you think they would do something like that?
It is a way, I believe, but I hope it's not the way. There are certain ways I would like to see certain characters brought back. RDJ being in the form of an AI, like he was for Riri. They got Armor Wars coming. I feel like that's a good way to introduce it. There's the rumored Ironheart. I don't know if that's ever confirmed yet. Ironheart, I would like to see him pop up as the AI there, like he was in the books. I don't necessarily need Tony Stark physically back. I'm okay with that part. Now Cap, you know, my boy, that's one I would like to see pulled up back.
Oh, get out of here, dude. No, no Cap. No Cap. He's done. He's capped out.
Don't get me wrong. I love Anthony Mackie, and I love seeing Falcon, you know, with the shield
good. But that was
Steve Rogers, that's my boy.
And going back into that series, you know, Winter Soldier, I hope that it doesn't have any, because I feel like this is one of those series that's not really going to have a dull moment here in that sense. And we really don't, because you're just really trying to figure out what's going on, and like what time loop are they going into? What time variance are we striking ourselves into this multiverse? It's almost like it's setting up, if not WandaVision, because it's like WandaVision touched up on the multiverse a little bit. And then now this one is touching up on it dramatically. it's almost like it's leading up to a movie, to Doctor Strange. You know, it's almost like it feels, because Doctor Strange comes out next year, it feels like this whole world, it's all Earth's, whatever, Earth, some, no, so many different numbers, is all getting screwed up. And it looks like Doctor Strange is going to be the only one to fix it. And if that's the case, I'm down for it, because I'm down to see some more Doctor Strange.
Well, see, that's kind of where it butts into my theory, because I don't think he will be fixing it.
Really?
I think the show is going in a direction that some people are thinking it's going, and others are probably not aware of where it's going to go. I think the bad guys are people that you probably aren't suspecting and so forth. I guarantee this is opening the door for Doctor Strange and even Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Multiverses, but I don't think he will necessarily be fixing anything.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Okay. Gotcha. So. And we haven't mentioned spoilers yet, guys. So stick with us. We're gonna be talking about spoilers very soon. And episode 2, man. You know, straight off the bat, action. Where we got into that episode, man. I mean, I loved it. I mean, this is weird for me to say that.
That song choice was amazing.
Yeah, dude. This is weird for me to say that, because me not being a fan of Loki, this is weird for me to say that I enjoyed a Loki series, even though I wasn't a fan of him in the movies. It's just, I don't know. This is a very strange time we're living in. Definitely exceeding my expectations here. Cause I really, to be honest, I was just like, okay, we're going to watch this. We're going to try it out, see how it happens. And that's it. You know, if it ends up being good.
Yeah. What it really is it's the magic of Kevin Feige and his people in taking characters that you might not have cared about, or the smaller characters, and giving them a platform. Hopefully, sure. I think it's going to remain that way going forward. I mean, of course, you're always going to have your big heroes that are going to shine.
Yeah.
I think they've done a really good job of plucking smaller characters like Agatha with WandaVision and, John Walker and in the Falcon and Winter Soldier. And one that we didn't get to see much of, too, is, Torres, Miguel, and how he becomes his future self. But I feel like they're already planting the seeds for these smaller characters, you know, to shine. So
yeah, most definitely, man. I just, this show has really, these first two episodes right here, I mean, it's very entertaining, I would say. Keeps us interested, and I would say, like, for that reason alone, I'm really excited to see what else we're going to get out of Loki, what else we're going to get out of Tom. I wish this series hopefully it touches up on that dark chaos in his, and understanding it as well, because we do get a sense of him really in this second episode. We get a sense of him understanding his chaos, of his consequences. He actually gets to see all that per se in there. And then. So let's go ahead and talk about spoilers, man. Dylan, let's talk about, certain hidden gems that let's go ahead and talk about it. We'll start it right now. On episode 1, we see Stan Lee in the background, which is a huge, great montage towards him as in the painting. If you go back to that Loki scene where he walks in is it the courtroom, or he's still walking through like that hallway?
I think it's the main hall.
It's the main hall, right? Okay. Yeah, the main hall. He actually goes in there. Tom goes in there. And if you see it, correct me, Dylan, what are they called? The Watchers? It's actually normally three, but the fourth one is actually Stan Lee, which I did love. That was awesome to see that as well. Another good fact that we learned in this realm, or in this world, I don't even know what you call it, and I guess we'll call it a realm, there's no magic. That's weird.
Nothing.
That is weird.
No magic, no power.
I don't know, just so many
Infinity
questions.
Infinity stones or paperweights.
Dude, I know, yes. Infinity stones, like, they have no magic. They have no power there. What the hell's going on, man? What is going on here?
I mean, that's...
Tell me.
Such a small part of the Marvel universe. And I'm talking comics here, There are beings way bigger than Thanos and the Infinity stones, There's...
Really?
Galactus. The Eternals. Galactus is one. There's... what's his name? I can't think of him now. Giant guy, space all in his face.
Eternity,
There's way bigger beings. And the Infinity Stones are just, a small pebble to them due to their power, So I feel like we're finally getting to crack that surface of the next level of Marvel characters, you know?
Yeah, for sure, for sure, man. I mean, we're touching up on certain characters where we never really seen in this, you know, really touching up on it to where, like, hey, it's giving us hints, like, it could go this way, it could go that way, it could go this way, and then it could go this way, and it just, so many different time variances that I'm digging it, too. I'm loving it, because it shows us, like, that anything's possible, like you already said, you know, anything's possible in this series. It's just weird how to see Infinity Stones, how they were so after him so many times, and he just has like, oh, that's just it. Those are paperweights. Like, let's just leave them. that was pretty, like, funny.
It's just evidence to them.
Yeah, yeah, and also, like, which multiverse did they get them from?
Exactly. Yeah, because was multiple reality stones, multiple soul stones.
Yeah,
I think there was a couple of time stones in there.
And then of course the Tesseract.
They were outside of the Eye of Agamotto. There was the Tesseract itself. So there was quite a few different ones from different multiverses.
Yeah, most definitely, man. It was weird to see all that, how they were just there, sitting there, chilling. that was kind of weird. And then let's go into the Timekeepers now, you know, along with Owen Wilson in there. We see, I know you mentioned, or I mentioned in our chat, and I know it hasn't been confirmed, right? You said it's that we kind of, whenever Loki puts the collar on that on the lady that was really messing with him, and like he finally got payback on her, which was freaking hilarious. Kept putting her in a time loop. It looked like, I mean, I guess I'll call it a time loop. We saw Peggy, it looks like, but I know you said it's not confirmed, right? So
you're right. She was wearing the right outfit. A lot of theories that I've been reading was that she was getting arrested, probably because of what her and Steve did. To me, it didn't look like that. It looked more like she came through the doorway with the guy. So I think if it was her, then there's probably a timeline where she might be working with the TVA, in that sense.
That could make sense.
To me, it just didn't seem like she was getting arrested. Like, it seemed like they were walking freely. They were just so close to each other. It looked like he was, you know, arresting her. But I didn't get that vibe. If it is her, it's just she was wearing the right blue dress. She had
It just, I mean, for S.H.I.E.L.D., I mean, it could probably just keep more top secret stuff for S.H.I.E.L.D. in that sense. And then also they give us hints in that episode, the same well as there's another Loki. Mm-hmm. Which episode 2 we go into, it kind of gives us more of a factor. I really did not think we're going to unveil that already.
The ones that I could name, we saw Frost Giant Loki. Like, he never left Jotunheim. He was blue. Yes. We saw the Lance Armstrong making fun of that. That was amazing. Then there was what I think is the real pure trickster Loki, the one that looked like the bum. You know what I'm talking about? It's like the clown. And then troll Loki, big troll Loki. I think
we're that was weird.
And then, of course, at the end, our Lady Loki hybrid. I don't like saying that it's real Lady Loki, because one, that's, she's going by a different name in the show, but two, the real Lady Loki was like black hair, like it was him, you know, to the fullest.
It was him hide, because in the comics he does hide from Thor, and he, you know, and it's been confirmed, guys, in the comics as well, you know, Loki, he's gender fluid. Yeah, it's been confirmed way before, you know, anything that's going on right now. It just totally, you know, it's not like Disney did this just because. I just feel like it was the way to go to really progress with this character and really go into the deeper mind of Loki itself, you know, and that's the whole point of the series, is to really touch up on those certain details that you can't touch up on a movie. Cause if they would have announced a Loki movie, I feel like a series is good.
Better fit for it.
Yeah. Way better fit for it. Episode 2, the variant. And we see a lot of different things in here, how much of a god of mischief she really is. I love that, dude. She's way more god of mischief than he is. That's why that was kind of strange. I was like, what the heck? Like, if Loki has had these powers, why is he not use them to his full potential? You know,
well, I don't think this Loki knows.
Well, yeah, so this Loki, yeah. Oh yeah, so this Loki is from, let's confirm this. This Loki, just to verify, this Loki is from the Marvel Avengers Loki. He is 2012 not, Loki. Yeah, 2012 Loki. Yeah, so he has
never
not,
saw Ragnarok.
Never saw Ragnarok, never, which is funny because he said it like it was nothing. But also he, going back to episode one, when he saw his mother die, I kind of feel like, I thought he was going to try to change that. I felt like, oh man, he's going to try to change from his mother dying because, you know, even while watching it on screen, he still felt sentiment. He still felt that grief that just, oh man.
Well, I think it was a combination of things. It was like, one, yes, he saw her die. Two, he realized that, hey, like I brought this on. I'm always the one that's like going to, like in every timeline, I'm going to be the one that brings this. Three, I think he kind of realized like, man, I kind of got to believe these guys because like not even the Infinity Stones work here. Like these guys got to have some power.
Yeah, see, so and I think, it's just
whole, all of it together, I think added up to what he felt in that scene.
True, true. Yeah, I just really feel like, you know, like he's stuck. I mean, he's just stuck in that realm, that, you know, in that TVA realm. And we'll just call it that for now, because since I'm pretty sure they'll touch up on it exactly what, you know, how it's created, and it looks like the Watchers. And Owen Wilson, he clarifies, he even says it like they created me, right? Mm-hmm. That's what he says. So it's like they're God or they're playing God or it just, I don't know. It just
In the comics, they are. Yeah, they're pretty high level.
So and then that's my next question, guys. So real quick. Eternals and the Watchers. Who's powerful? Who's more?
I'm going to go with Eternals because the Watchers, they don't really do anything other than watch.
Okay.
There's only one that interferes. He's going to be the one that is leading us through the What If TV show.
Mm.
But as far as like history, I mean, for the most part, they just watch and observe. They don't really interject.
They don't.
So intervene. I would say they're not really powerful.
Okay.
On that
aspect. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. I mean, because Owen Wilson, he's a believer, man. He's a believer of the Watchers. You know, he's a believer in that, and you could see that in alone. You could just see like they created me. We keep the time variance, and acknowledging that this exists. Do you think Loki? I mean, obviously, do you think Loki should take it to his advantage in this series, like? To where, like, he'll, you know, if there's any possibility to where the Watchers will listen to him or try to convince him, the Watchers to listen to him, you think?
I don't think the Watchers will be a part of it. Now, the Timekeepers, I don't know. With my theory, I don't think it's not going to go that way in my theory.
Okay, we'll talk about your theory on this episode as well. So, and we'll probably mention it throughout this. But let's go ahead. So, we in that very last scene, you know, we get all the, you know, the girl Loki, or just so. What did you say? Confirm it for us, real quick. When she unveils herself with her little horns, which I thought were pretty cool. It was a different kind of horns there. On her powers and everything, the God of Mischief.
I think her real name that was credited is Sylvie, making her not actually Loki, but she is an enchantress, is what they said, that gets his powers after he dies. I believe he voluntarily gives those powers to her.
Oh wow!
Before he dies, I want to say that I haven't read that storyline myself, so I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah,
that's just the little bit of research I did.
I was gonna say, if it's when he dies, then I was gonna assume, obviously, you know, in Infinity War, you know, when he dies, you know, it's Infinity War, right? Yeah, the beginning scene. I think it's Infinity War when Loki dies. And it's funny too because Juan even called it. I'll go back and say it so many times, like, Juan, Cloud, you know, he called that. He's all like, dude, he was dressed up as, he was cosplaying as Loki. We went to go see at the Alamo Draft House on Westlake. So that night we bought tickets and we all sat together. And funny story, he showed up as Loki. I was like, what the heck? So he showed up as Loki. And then he's all like, watch, bro, I'm going to die. I'm going to die very first episode. I mean, very first scene, I'm gonna die. I was like, no, you're not. I didn't believe him. I was like, oh, that's crap. That's bull crap. You're gonna die at the end of the movie. That's why, because you're gonna die at the end or the middle. Like, you're not gonna die in the beginning. And sure enough, I was wrong. And I'll say it every time. Every time we bring up Loki, I have to, you know, I just like, you know what, dude, you were right, man. Cloud was right. He knew when he was gonna die. And I thought that was pretty funny, man. Thinking back. When Infinity War first came out, I was like, dude, what the? I was shocked. I was like, dude, what the hell? Like, why would they do that?
That's exactly why they did it. They got to show one, Thanos is, he's way stronger than the original big bad, which was Loki. And two, that was another way of Loki. He was on that redemption arc already. That was the final step of that arc.
Yeah, true. So. Yeah. So let's go ahead and talk about your theory. But what's your theory in this series that you think it's going to really shape up to be?
So they kind of talked about it in episode one with the Great War. They said there was like multiple timelines, you know, doing their own thing. Then there was the Great War, and now there's a singular timeline, meaning there's multiple. What I think it means is that there's infinite number of multiverses, but the same thing is happening in every one of those multiverses. I think the real bad guys are the timekeepers, and I think that the Lady Loki, when she did her thing at the end of the episode, is now disrupting that timeline, bringing back the natural order. The natural order, I believe, should be chaos. Every timeline should be able to do its own thing. So that's why I think at the end of it, it's going to end up being the timekeepers that are the bad guys. And not only to mention that, but I mean, we know they're affiliated with Kang, and Kang, as far as I know, has always been a bad guy. So they're kind of, I feel like they're dropping hints slowly.
Yeah, man. I'm excited to see what's in store for this series, man. Like, I really am. And is it weird that I'm more excited for this than I am for Cap and the Winter Soldier? I know you're going to be totally like, what the hell? Like,
because
I know.
No, I'll give you that, because I feel like this is definitely more, the future of the MCU is riding more on this show than it did on that one and stuff.
True. Yeah.
So whereas like that level of things is my,
but see, that was simple story. You know, all Anthony Mackie had to do was just man up and not give the shield. That was it. And that series would have never happened. Like, it would have been like, all right, I'm just going to keep it, or at least give it,
it would have been totally different. It would have been the government trying to take it from him.
That would have probably been a better story. Yeah. But,
I mean, maybe. But
yeah, just more violent. But so I just going back into this, I don't know what to expect. I don't have any really insight into what can we expect out of this series, man. I mean, it just, I'm just sinking it all in and just like, wow, like, this is a pretty entertaining series here. Besides watching the Bad Batch on Disney Plus, you know, I'm excited for this series to really progress. I do hope that they touch up and we'll see a different spot. I hope, maybe give us a little bit of a hint, because Spider-Man does come out this year. Give us a little hint, like maybe there's a Spider-Man or a wall crawler in the background or something, or something to where it'll show us like, hey, you know, it's kind of giving us hints for the rest of the year that the Eternals and Spider-Man and I don't think it could touch up on Black Widow, because I mean, I don't think there's really, I mean, you can if you go back in time, but I don't think they would want to touch up on that since it's so close to release date. And, you know, and
I feel like if it touches anything that's coming up, it's definitely going to be Doctor Strange.
For sure. Yeah.
Because I feel like this would touch on that.
Yeah.
If anything, it might not touch it at all.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Which is also good too. We always want the more gritty, you know, we always want more when it comes down to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But yeah, any final thoughts, Dylan? Anything else you'd like to say?
No, I'm excited to see where this is going.
Yeah,
excited. Be back here back in the spot next Wednesday.
Excellent. We'll try to do this every Wednesday. If not, it'll be the next day, ladies and gentlemen, on Thursday. But I'm pretty sure we're gonna get this wired on Wednesday night, since it always comes on Hump Day now. So I know it hasn't been confirmed how many episodes are releasing.
I have not read it anywhere, but I'm gonna go with 8, just because I think everything's been 8
episodes. Okay. Well, correct us on the comments down below, guys. I know it could be 8, it could be, do you think they're gonna be all 50 54 minutes. This one was 54 minutes.
I think the goal is like 45 to an hour is gotcha. Their window.
Yeah.
On that, I think it's either six episodes or eight. It's going to be one of those two.
Okay. Yeah, I got you. Yeah, because I mean, sticking to that timeline is actually not that bad. Sticking to that runtime is not that bad. You know, because 30 minutes goes by so quick, and I think that's a pretty good enough runtime just to give us the gist. And then especially if you're explaining time variance and all that, it's going to be very tough to explain that all in 30 minutes. I mean, we saw how much it pretty much took half the episode to explain, to really catch them up on different, you know, just on to catch up on the current time variance line. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Any final thoughts, Dylan? Anything else?
Nope, that's awesome. It, man.
Awesome, brother. All right, guys. If you have not already, hit that subscribe button, ladies and gentlemen. And be sure to like us on Facebook. Subscribe to us on YouTube, guys. Also, ladies and gentlemen, we got our Fast and Furious 9. We're actually seeing it early. Fast and Furious 9 review will be out next week on Wednesday. So be sure to check us out on our Wednesday review. It'll be me and Dylan again coming at you again, guys. Maybe it'll be in person. You never know. We'll talk about that, further details. But yeah, so be sure to look us up on that as well for a Fast 9 review, because Dylan's excited for that franchise, right?
I'm a franchise friend, but yeah, I don't know if I'm excited for this one.
I'm not excited for it. I'm not really excited for it. I don't know. They make money, man. They make money, dude. I don't know how, but they make money. It's just crazy because it's a good popcorn flick. I'll give it that. It's a good, solid story. But not counting Hobbs and Shaw. I'm not counting that. I wanted to walk out of that theater. I don't say it again and again. I'm probably going to be mentioning on our review. But yeah, so hopefully it comes out good. Hopefully it's a good, entertaining film, guys. Be sure to look us up on that. And yeah, all right. As always, I'm your host, Ryan D. Aiken, Ryan680.
I'm Dylan Ethan01.
Thanks for joining me, Dylan. Have yourself a wonderful week. Have a good week, guys. And remember, guys, it's Fiesta, baby. Fiesta starts tomorrow, guys. So don't drink too much. Don't drink and drive, guys. Do not, because you and I both know the cops are out there, and they know it's Fiesta as much as you do. All right?
All right, y'all.
Hello, everyone. Thanks again for listening to our podcast. We truly appreciate the support. Be sure to also check us out on YouTube, guys, where we do strictly movie reviews. Hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for all of your movie news, reviews, and our special giveaways and contests, guys. You know what to do, and you have yourself a wonderful day, and stay classy, San Antonio.